You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara and I'm here with my brother and co-host, Devin.
Hello. Hello.
Good evening, brother.
Good evening.
All right. What do you got for us today, Dev?
I say that Westerners attempt to expose every speck of grime and eradicate it, while we Orientals carefully preserve and even idealize it. Yet, for better or for worse, we do love things that bear the marks of grime, soot, and weather, and we love the colors and the sheen that call to mind the past that made them. Living in these old houses, among these old objects, is in some mysterious way a source of peace and repose. That's a Japanese view of things in the book I've read from before, In Praise of Shadows.
Oh, right on.
He just talks about general ideas of, you know, pleasing things.
Right, like aesthetic, you know, the societal aesthetic, I guess, to, you know, right. Differences between Western and Eastern mindset, yeah, I guess.
I guess it's a long way of saying we like patina.
I guess it's kind of interesting. I don't know. I mean, I feel like, I don't know. It's hard to see that. Like, because in my mind, like a Japanese aesthetic is like clean, you know, simple. Obviously, there's like wood and stone, and you know, like. But I don't think that's a like a patina or grime or like dirt. I think that's. It's like, I don't know. I just don't see it. Like, I don't see it. When I think of Japanese aesthetic, I don't think of patina.
Mm.
I think of, like, natural, you know, wood and stone. You know, like, simplicity, but efficiency. Like, perfect efficiency within simplicity.
Right, but maybe, I don't know, it's leaving certain things. I mean, they can find beauty in anything.
Right.
So yeah. It's maybe leaving a certain wall dirty on the outside, not scrubbing it.
Right.
You know, through certain things like that. Yeah, I don't know. You know, it's an interesting thing. It's an interesting book. But yeah. Also, you know, Japanese have the old things to keep old, and we are just now getting old things to keep old. You know,
right, yeah.
In standards of their old. You right. know, a couple hundred years, it's just now going, okay, this is a really old thing we want to keep, like a cabin or any old home from the 1800s or stuff like that.
Right, exactly.
Something from Deadwood, you know. Like,
yeah. Yeah, actually have, right. I mean, you know, our country's, you know, just a couple hundred years old, right? So it's like, and the middle of that was the Industrial Revolution, where everything changed and everything went from being, like, produced on a single object level to mass production, you know, and industry. So, you know, that started in America. So it's hard to... Hard to see that where, like, you know, or the kind of the history of our country is about, like, how to move forward as quick as possible, how to, like, move west, how to like, you know, push forward and be become the best.
And we're just now slowing down, looking at stuff and going back. And what do we want to do? And but also, I'm thinking about Japanese homes. There's a lot of, you know, like rice paper walls. Can you scrub them? Like, how do you?
Yeah.
Or do they just appreciate the changing color of a rice of a wall and a mat? You know, like maybe that's a part of it.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
How do you wash? Yeah.
I mean, there's obviously. Mats? Right. Yeah. I mean, because I feel like, you know, like the clothing and the houses, everything is like seems pristine, you know, like to the nth degree, like everything is in its place, everything is perfectly, like, you know, like, and maybe that's just part of the mindset, is that it's not about having something new, it's about having something that has tradition. Right. So it's like it can be older because it's been, like, taken care of and, you know, used with, like, a certain level of, you know, attention to detail and perfection and ceremony. Right. So, like, an old clay, you know, tea kettle might have been around for 1,000 years because it's been used, like, perfectly with like the entire process of it happening in mind while it's happening. Right. It's not just like this, just a tea kettle to pour me tea so I can drink tea. Right. It's like this tea kettle is here to, like, heat up the water and go through that process. And then to, like, as I pour it, it pours a very specific, you know, pour that pours in that, like, mixes the tea leaves. And, you know, it's like, it's all part of the ceremony. So maybe that same thing, right? Opening, closing doors, taking your shoes off before you go inside. It's all this, like, nth degree level of ceremony in each thing. And each thing has it's like, you know, enjoy everything for what it is. It's like, for its life.
But that's also a reason you see rebellion of that, the total opposite thing at places like Tokyo and the being the tech country, like tech leader of the world, pretty much as far as making computers and robots and things without soul, without, like, you don't have to go get food by someone who spends all this time making it. Just go into a vending machine and we'll get you something that will cook in, like, 30 seconds.
Right, yeah.
You know, there's this total opposite.
Yeah, the complete opposite,
you go to expect where someone who's used to that slow process all the time, you know, some people leave and go, yeah, we want to do something different.
Right. Yeah. Have you ever watched the Liziki? It's like Liziqi on YouTube.
Mm-mm, no.
She's a Japanese woman. I think it's Japan, I'm pretty sure, yeah. Probably in her mid-30s. And she, you know, went to school, went to the city, became, like, a business person, like, made a bunch of money, and then, or, you know, whatever, like, kind of realized that she wanted to live a different life. She wanted to kind of live a traditional life. So then she went back to the country where she's from and basically, like, helped to continue to take over, I think, what was maybe her grandparents' farm. Mm-hmm. And so she does YouTube videos, and each one is... they've changed over time, but the ones that we like the most are, like, the ones that are, like, the life of, you know, like, the life of purple carrots or something, or the life of, like, peanuts. And it'll basically give you, like, it'll show her preparing the area, planting it, and then watching it grow and doing other things to kind of, like, maybe building a bamboo wall that will then, like, help it grow. And, you know, like, she just goes through this whole thing, and these videos are, you know, produced over, like, 8 months or a year or so sometimes, Right. And she's like, kind of puts them together. So you see this whole process, but it's very meditative, very much just like her doing it, not talking, like super beautiful cinematic in this, like, you know, gorgeous countryside of Japan and this really old farm, you know, and gardens and houses. And then she, at the end, she like usually cooks a bunch of stuff. So you watch her cook in this like traditional way. And then they have these big meals. It's like the most beautiful videos on YouTube, I think, you know, one of the most, you know, it's got to be up in the top, just to like how beautiful it's done. And that's right, that's her. She like went back, like wanted to go back in that tradition because she lived in a city that was like so fast and so everything was like so immediate and so
right
you know. All right, so I don't know, it's hard. I mean, I will say that like the explanation that like the way it was written doesn't seem to me like Japanese like culture, right? Or Asian culture, the way like that specific dialogue that you read, the quote that you read, it that seems off, right? I don't know what it is. I mean, it's, I think it's because in my mind, none of that I see, that culture of like Japanese culture, is like grime. You know what I mean? Like patina makes more sense. But like the language that was in the quote seemed a little different, you know. Mm. But
I mean, it also might be a translation thing.
Yeah, right. Exactly. There's probably some like more poetic translation that could mean something different, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I can definitely relate, right? I love the, you know, I love a space that has history to it. You know, I love artwork that shows the creation. You know, I love like old wooden things that, you know, that have patina from years of hands touching it. And, you know, just little tools that are, that you can tell were made with like a certain level of, attention to detail that is not necessarily the same that they are these days. Right. And there are some companies that are still doing that, but, you know, old Stanley tools with like decorative flourishes and, you know, like leafy patterns and stuff on them for the reason that it looked nice, you know, on the outside, you know, that some things like that are just, it's a different mindset.
Well, like we always say, it's like, you know, these companies start out with ideals. And certain people hold them to that, and then they get taken over by people who don't have the same ideals or don't care as much. Like, oh yeah, but we can save $2 on each screwdriver if we lose the inlay, lose this, and it's a slippery slope, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah,
and then 100 years later, the company is fine, but it's just, you know, nowhere. The tools won't last half as long.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You can sell. You know, they're selling like 100 times as many and making way more money. Mm-hmm. But I guess like, you know, making for the masses rather than making for the, like the individual craftsman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what it is.
Yeah. And it's that thing where you want to support small companies, but also sometimes when people are like really tout that too much, that annoys me a little bit.
Yeah.
Like support small. I'm like, well, you're saying that because you're small,
right?
When you become a huge knife maker, you might still say support small to be like, you know, help these other guys out that I like. But it's like,
right?
It's easy to say when that's you. All you're saying is support me,
right? Yeah, exactly.
Like you're not saying support any small business, any small knife maker. You're saying, hey, I'm a small business. Support me.
Yeah, right. It's like, I support other small businesses because I'm a small business and you should too.
Right. It's like, yeah, okay, but I don't like your knife, so.
No? Right, and you know, like a big business, right? There's a reason why they're a big business. They've kind of adapted over time and gotten bigger and bigger.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just something funny that people.
Yeah, I think it should be like, you know, more instead of like, well, I guess I don't know. It depends. It should be support people that are similar to you, right? Maybe like, you know, like, hey, you know, if you're a small business, you should support other small businesses because you can sympathize and empathize with them.
Right, but also just because it's small doesn't mean it has any. Well,
right. Yeah, it doesn't have intrinsic value because
other than you supporting your community, but sometimes there's a small business in California. How are you supporting your immediate community? You're not at all. You're buying there's knife makers here, so why am I going to buy from some guy in Iowa?
Right.
You know, like when there's 100 knife makers in the state of Maryland that I just didn't buy from. Does that mean I'm not supporting small business? I'm not. Right. I'm definitely not supporting my local community. Like,
right. Yeah.
It's a tricky thing.
Yeah, it is tricky. I think that's just, again, like, you know, that's the market we have now, which is so much more universal rather than just small. So maybe that's the idea. It's like, yeah, you can go and look on Instagram, and you can go on to Amazon, and you can go on to Google and search and find anything all over the entire world. But like, maybe there's something right in your neighborhood that will work just as well. And maybe it might cost a little bit more, but you know, at least then you're supporting your own local economy. Which might, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a tricky thing. I remember one time I went to Soundgarden, which was always not Soundgarden. It was, what was the other one?
Soundgarden was down in Fells Point.
No, what's the Record Tape Traders?
Record and Tape Traders.
So there was a few of those in Maryland. I don't know if they were anywhere else, but it was just for a long time, where we'd get CDs, right?
Right. Yeah.
And that was like, a few local towns in Maryland had them, and then you get CDs and like movies, like DVDs, and a lot of used stuff. The good old days when you would just hear one song and you'd go to the place and be like, "All right, I want the whole album." Just like hope.
Hopefully, it's good.
Here we go. Now this one stinks. And then they started selling records once that got cool again, like in whatever 2010. And there was that one in Towson next to the bookstore.
Right.
Which I went a good bit when I was in Towson. I'd go just to look, see what they had. But
I remember. Oh, you mean the one next to Yukazoo or whatever back
then? Yeah, when it was
Yukazoo. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right, right. Yep.
And I remember going in and like, "Hey, do you have this record?" And he said, "No." I was like, "All right," I started to walk out. He's like, "You can order it though from us and it'll be here." And I was like, "Ah, no, I'm good." He's like, "You know, if you don't buy stuff from this place, we won't be here for long." And I got his point, but also pissed me off a little bit.
Right.
I was like, I came in, I asked for the thing, I was willing to pay more. Now there's a certain level, like, hey, I'm going to listen to this record.
Yeah.
Now I am going to order it online or whatever, because I'm not going to wait 2 weeks or whatever, however long it takes you to get it in and then mark it up.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Like, why can't I get it straight to me? Why do I have to go through you guys? Nowadays, I can order it myself.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I was going to come in here, and if you had it on the shelf, I was going to buy it from you. But like, don't guilt me into your business. Like, that's one of the things. Like, I understand you're a small local business. And honestly, I do miss that it's not there anymore. But a lot of those things, hardly any stores are around anymore. Yeah. But it's like, look, I don't know you or your business.
Right.
You and your family-owned shit might be the worst group of people around. So I don't really care that it's family-owned, because I don't know your family. Like, you know, everything's owned by somebody.
Yeah.
Like, so what? Your shitty nephew now is a part owner and like CFO? Like, okay. So what you're saying is family-owned. We didn't pick on merit. We just picked on whoever had the last name.
On blood. Yeah, right. Exactly. Like,
okay, great. I'm going to go order my album somewhere else. I tried.
I gave you the chance to be the middleman. Yeah, yeah. I came in. I looked for it here first. If you would have had it, like, then you would have got the money.
And you're like,
you don't. You're like, and I don't need a middleman anymore.
35-year-old guy who works at a record shop. Like, all right. Don't guilt me. Go somewhere else. It's time now.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just thinking about, they were saying, what was it? Like, I've been listening to the sports talk radio all week since, you know, the last last weekend, and all these like stats are coming up about like the Lions and like when the last time they won, you know, a game in the playoffs and like, you know, the first, like, whatever, anytime. So for the Lions, if anyone texted that the Lions won since last weekend, it was the first time those words were ever texted, ever. Right? Because the last time they won, texts weren't a thing. So it was like, Lions won a playoff game or whatever. Yeah, it's like things like that. It's funny. It was just kind of, and you know, it was like the last time the Lions won, you know, nothing had ever been ordered online for sale or something, or it was like something like that. It was like, it's just crazy to think of the day and age we live in where everything is so like immediate.
Mm-hmm.
And how different and how like, you know, relatively new that still is. You know, I mean, and in my mind, it's even newer, right? Because I know like it wasn't until like 2010 probably that I got an iPhone. Right. So they like smartphone. And even at that point, it was not new, but it was still relatively new. I think it was the iPhone 3 or something. So it had been out a couple years. But, you know, even that having a phone with internet on it is only 13 years old, right? Or 14 years old, which is nothing. It's like the blink of an eye. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And everything is so, you know, we just take it all for, not for granted, but it's just so second nature now, right? It's like, oh, I need this thing. I'll just go online and order it. It'll be here in a day or maybe three. You know, it's like, of course, it's like, especially things we know that, you know, but anything that's like a need, it's just like instantly available. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, we have a great capacity to get used to whatever the situation is.
Right, yeah.
Whether it's bad, whether it's a pandemic and we're all wearing masks and no one's working,
mm-hmm.
and you just get used to it.
Yep.
You can deal with stuff, whether it's like, you know, a world war, stuff like that. But it's also like the good stuff. We all just kind of, oh, now we can do this. Like, okay, cool. Yep. Now we have AI to help us with anything we want to write ever for free.
Like, okay.
Okay, now it's that. Now I can like adjust. Now I can put things in pictures that weren't there, and it can look perfect. Like,
yeah, just yesterday, I heard an ad for Grammarly that was like, now on Grammarly, you can have them help write your whole thing for you. You know, because Grammarly was always like, you write it, and then it'll like go in, it'll help you, it'll change it a little bit to make it sound better. Right now, it's like you just now Grammarly has AI. You don't have to write anything; you just type in what they want, and they'll just do it all for you.
We'll do it for you. Why don't you just tell me what you want?
Why don't you tell me what you want? Actually, yeah, I was thinking one of the reasons why I was thinking about like Amazon was because now I've watched most of the first season of Deadwood.
Yeah.
Since last week, because it's amazing. And I also started, like, I got Nicole to kind of watch along with me. She was, like, in the room when I was watching, and she's, like, kind of invested now. I was like, yes, I love it. But they order a piano at one point, you know, and then it's like, enough time passes by that he's like, why do we have a piano? He's like, well, you told me to order a piano. He's like, did I? You know, it's like, and even that, like thinking about how long it was from when he ordered it until when it got there.
It's like months.
Yeah. Right. I mean, and even that, like they're an, you know, a territory, town that's unaffiliated with the government, but they can still order something through a Montgomery Ward catalog and it can make it to them eventually. Like, even that is just mind boggling. Like,
money to be made, people
yeah, right. It. Montgomery Ward catalog, and he ordered like the fancy one. piano.
Fucking new piano.
Yeah, right.
That made me laugh.
Yeah.
And so you haven't gotten to season two yet?
No, I think I was watching like episode 10 last night or something, but yeah.
Season 2.
I mean, I think it's only like 13 episodes or something, so I'm close to it.
Yeah, 12.
Yeah.
Okay. Season 2, I think second episode, after Al is beat up, that's all I'll say. And he's suffering from things, and he's, there's this thing that he does with one of his ladies, and it's so funny. I cracked up so hard, but, you'll know when it comes, but
nice.
I got a buddy Andy to watch it, and he's been texting me. I was like, yes, he like nice. Through the first season in like 3 days.
Did I tell you about the comment that I got on Instagram from Justin Miller, Florida Man Forge?
Yeah, I think he sent me something too.
Yeah, he said, he mentioned after the podcast, he said, I'm ready for an AOC, and then in parentheses, Art of Cocksucker podcast. Oh, yeah. All Deadwood, all the time.
I think he said that to me,
too. The Art of Cocksucker. Yeah, it's great.
Cocksucker.
But yeah, I was just thinking about that, right? Like, you know, that kind of order through catalog thing has happened for like long, you know, hundreds of years now. But then something like Amazon came along and just had a platform where it was all there online, you know, it's like, and now Bezos is like one of the richest people in the world. It's crazy.
Real quick on Deadwood. before we go into axe talk.
Yeah.
One thing I love about that show is a sense of location and place. Letting you understand where people are in relation to other people and where buildings are. Like, to really, like, they make an effort of it. People stepping outside on the balcony, looking at other buildings. They're across the way. This section's over here. The doctor's over there. This is where these guys sit. They're going to have to walk through here. You know, the gym's here. The hotel's there. And it constantly reinforces that throughout the show to give you a good feeling that you're in the town. Yeah. I love that. It's so essential in a show, which I feel like a lot don't do anymore. Because it's either CG or they only build one building, and it's just like, it doesn't matter. The buildings don't matter. But in Deadwood, they are a part of the story because you know where the balcony is. And if they're standing out front or if something goes down, you know where you're at. And you know who's going to come out of their store and watch whatever's happening. Like, it's so... so well done.
I like there's the scene in the first season where it might be like episode two, where Jane is standing on the corner so she can look down the street toward the docks, you know, and then she can also see up the street toward the gym. And she's like on a corner. So she's like, I'm standing here. I can see that way and I can see that way. And I got them all covered. And I think it's what's it? Is it what's his name? Who stands next?
Charlie Utter.
Utter, yeah. Charlie Utter. All right, Jane, I'll stand here, would you?
He is one of the greatest characters on that show.
Oh, he's so good. He's like
he's so loyal and so good and funny.
Yeah, like, funny and just like and like tough without being, you know, over, like, not seeming tough. You know, he's, like, not scared of anybody. Right. Like, he's telling people off, you know. He's, like, somebody, I think it was, like, the he's the newspaper guy. Yeah, right. He's, like, your big old fucking feet stepping all over me. He's, like, yeah, it's in front. And then, like, and then later that episode where the newspaper guy, like, leans over and the guy behind him's like, you know, got your, you know, sticking your ass all in my face or whatever. And then Charlie walks by and he's like, hits him on the head. He's like, you have plenty of room. You watch your attitude. And I was like, yeah, Charlie?
He said, yeah, I know. Because the kid was there and he was like, it just, he sees those injustices. No, he said, you got a rude fucking mouth.
Yeah, right, exactly. You got a rude fucking mouth.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, he's so good. Like, they're all just so good.
Awesome. Charlie, I know.
He's like, I didn't know you were. What are they paying you to hold this building up? Jane's leaning against the building.
What a good line. All right, Jane. All right.
All right. Yeah, exactly. He's always like, all right, all right.
Because she's so, you know, temperamental.
Yeah, right. That's great. Oh, man. So good. I am drinking tonight. I'm drinking two beers, but one I'm drinking is, they're both from Flying Dog, from their IPA pack, but the one I'm drinking, and I actually never really put this together is, their one called Royal Crush, which is a juicy IPA.
Yeah.
And on the can, it says, we have a saying here at Flying Dog, when life gives you oranges, squeeze them until they're dry and then add a bunch of alcohol. And then it says, inspired by the Maryland Shore's most beloved beach cocktail, this one hits you with a wave of bright orange and carries you out to sea with a subtle, sweet finish. So tighten up those swim trunks because you're about to ride a tsunami of citrus. But it's the Royal Crush, right? So that's the Orange Crush. It's the one you love.
One of the great cocktails.
Yeah, and this is really good. Like they do a good job. It's a 6%. They have a lot of really high stuff, but yeah, this one's good. It's very orangey, which I like. So
watching Deadwood makes me want to take up drinking whiskey more. Just yeah, right. Have a little bottle in my drawer when we're podcasting, pull it out, pour a shot.
Pour yourself a drink.
I'm drinking Stag's Leap, the Investor, Napa Valley Red Wine.
Oh, man, look at you.
Getting fancy these days.
I don't know why this reminded me of it, but I've been watching a lot of Seinfeld recently, especially like around dinner, like at dinner time. Because we usually like, play a game or do something. We eat at the dining room table, but we've been just like watching episodes of Seinfeld on our phone. You know, just put the phone up.
Nice.
I was watching the episode with, let's see, it was like, Elaine, so they're writing, it's in whatever season, maybe season three or something, they're writing the pilot for their show, Jerry and George. Yeah, and And they're like, they're pretty far along, and they're giving the pilot the script to like Dalrymple, the guy who owns it, and then George gives it to his like his therapist so she can read it and whatnot. And Elaine reads it, and she's like, or she, you know, you get a scene of them in the cafe, and she's like, "I'm not in here anywhere." And Jerry's like, "Well, we couldn't find a place for you, you know, like we couldn't." There was like, you know, me and Kramer and everybody's there. We couldn't find a place for you. And she's like, "What do you mean, or whatever?" And he's like, "Well, I can't even like write for you. I don't know what women think." And then like Jerry's old girlfriend comes in, and she like compliments Elaine on her shoes, yeah. And Elaine's like, "Okay, yeah, whatever, thanks." You know, and then she's like, "I got him from Botticelli." Ooh, Botticelli, da, da, da. And then like the woman walks out, and she's all like pissed off. And Jerry's like, "Really?" She's like, "Yeah, I'm really embarrassed. Couldn't you tell?" He's like, "No, right. I had no idea." Like she's so angry about it. Like, why'd you have to talk about my shoes? I don't know why that made me think about it, but it was just like,
ooh, Botticelli.
It's so good. Yeah, right. She's like, I can't write for a woman. I don't know what they're thinking.
It's that classic "What a Woman Wants" line from Jack Nicholson.
What's the movie?
I think what no, not
about
what a woman wants.
About
no, maybe no, it's "What a Woman."
No, it's you're talking with him and the blonde chick
from "Mad About You."
Yeah. I can't think of the movie name, but it's not what a woman want. It's something else.
Yeah, it's and like he's
about, yeah, I don't know.
He's Yeah, and then there's that woman comes up because he writes novels.
Mm.
She's like, "Oh, I love your work. How do you write so well in the perspective of women?" And what's his line is, "I just think of a man, and then I take away all reason and accountability."
That's classic.
It's a funny line.
Yeah, That's a good one. What is that movie called? I don't know. It's like on the tip of my tongue, but
As Good as It Gets?
Yeah, I think that's it. As Good as It Gets. Yeah.
It's a great movie.
Yeah. Good job.
All right.
Yeah.
What are you doing here?
So other than the snow, which has been cool, we got some snow last weekend.
Still here. We're gonna get more tonight.
Yeah, I know, it's great. I actually had in Baltimore City schools, we had off on Monday because it was Martin Luther King Day. And then Tuesday, we ended up getting off as well because the snow happened on Tuesday, which is great. And then Wednesday, we had a two-hour delay because of how cold it was.
Yeah.
So I had a partial day on Wednesday. Today was a normal day, full normal day. Tomorrow, we have off because of snow. So I had a 1.5 day week this week.
Oh, baby.
And I got paid for all 5.
And then Saturday, we'll have a big football game.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah. Good week, then, hopefully. We'll see.
Yeah. And then Monday is my birthday. Yeah. So I get a little extra long weekend and a, you know, pretty cool. What I've been working on, I think I maybe mentioned last week that I rehandled the axe. Oh, did that happen last week? I have the boy's axe that I got the handle from Tracy from Bastion Head.
And, yeah, you talked about that.
Yeah, so I finished like the handle on that and all, and I talked to Tracy. You know, he like mentioned that he's like a very much a function over form. So it's like it's got to work right, and it doesn't really matter what it looks like. I mean, it matters, but it's mostly about function. So I've been trying to keep that in mind when I've been finishing the handle. Because the handle that he gave me is one that he made. It's an octagonal handle, so not oval, but octagonal. And like the fawn's foot or the, you know, palm swell at the end was very like straight cut at the bottom and, you know, very like utilitarian. So I've been like adjusting it a little bit, you know, like, so cleaning up all the facets so that way they're really even, you know, so like there's still facets there, so it's still functional, but they're nice and even and like symmetrical. So like kind of cleaning them up a little bit. I did around the bottom. Go ahead.
So he made his own handle or he just changed it?
He made the handle.
Then why does he, it's a collaboration or it's.
No. So, At Maker Camp, I talked to him. I was talking to his wife actually about the edge material. That they have this like plastic or this like hard plastic material that they put on the edges of their draw knives and stuff when they're selling them or when they're using them. Mm. And I asked her about where they got them, and she told me what it was. It's this kind of edge material that's used for the transportation of sheet metal. When you have these like big pieces of sheet metal that are like you could kill you because they can cut you open if they're, you know, the edges are sharp. Right. So they put this kind of edging on it and they get it from a retailer where they are. And so we kind of chatted about it. She told me the name and stuff and gave me some information about where I could look it up. And then not too long after that, after Maker Camp, Tracy reached out and said, hey, you know, we were talking and, you know, we want to send you some of this, like some of the stuff we have. We'll send you like a length of it. You can check it out. Mm. So I gave him my address and he sent it. And he also sent 3 handles. Because he makes his own handles, so he just sent a couple of the handles, and they were, you know, kind of shorter ones. One was about like maybe 22 inches, and the other two are probably like 18 or 17 inches. So kind of, you know, shorter hatchet and, you know, small axe handles. So I'm just using one of those for the first time.
Oh, okay.
So it's a handle that he made, you know, so he has like, he like from ash, you know, so he's like harvests this ash and then lets it dry. And then he cuts these like handle blanks out that he can take places. Especially like at Maker Camp, he was, there were handles, like you could bring an axe head and he would give you the handle and then you could handle it there at Maker Camp. Mm. And they had some axe heads to give away as well. So they were like, you basically walk in with nothing and go away with an axe that you did, you like handled yourself. Right. And they had draw horses so you could kind of shape it and put it on and seat it, put the wedge in and all. And,
that's cool.
So I think when he goes to different shows, he has those. So he makes a lot of them. So he sent me a couple. So that's what I was using. But like I said, I'm like taking it. I'm trying to like keep in mind the function part, but then also, you know, keep the form as well, right? Mm-hmm. So like I want all the, like the facets to be even. I you know, rounded the bottom a little bit so it looks a little bit better. I kind of changed some of the angles so it like feels nice but also looks nice. And I did end up going over like all the surface with like where I would normally sand the surface of the handle down so you couldn't see any tool marks. I like kind of left some of them on the different facets so that way it would add a little more texture to it. So like trying to like balance the way I would want to do it and the way he would want the handle to be done, you know, like how he would do it, since just kind of like an honor of, you know, the handle.
The way he would have wanted.
I could try. Yeah. Just try something different just to like, you know, why not? You know, I've like handled hundreds of axes. So, you know, why not try to
thousands,
Cadillac.
What, you think I've never ridden a Cadillac before? This is the Deadwood Seinfeld podcast. Welcome.
That's right, exactly. Yeah, welcome to the rest of our lives. So we have some other axe videos coming up, one that you suggested, which I think we've kind of talked about and, you know, tossed around as an idea for years, which is the going to a hardware store and picking out you know, a hardware handle, and how do you pick out a good one? Because there are plenty of good hardware store handles. You just have to know what to look for. And we've kind of talked about that in a video before, where I like started with a handle that I got, and I talked about why I bought it for the way I did.
Right.
But I think what your idea is, like going into it, like going into the store, searching through the handles, you know, see if we're successful when we find one, or if not, you know, then we go to another store, you know, so that we can go from like Home Depot, Lowe's, Ace Hardware. Those are like the 3 that I have around that I know are going to have handles.
Right.
Let's see if we can find one, you know.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out the best way to do it without getting asked to not record something. Maybe you have the GoPro and you like just hold it as you're walking around. Right. And then when you find something, I'll have the camera and we'll just shoot you talking about it.
Right.
So yeah, I'm not like following you around with the camera up, you know, getting a lot of attention. We just kind of walk in and you have the GoPro. You could even put it on your hat or something on your chest, or you could just kind of hold the thing and just, you know, walk in, hold it with your left hand or right hand and just sort through stuff. And, you know, it just shows you going into the place, going to the axe area.
Right. Yeah. So you get that experience of, you know, finding where it is, you know, talking about like, okay, how do we find this? You know, is it where the axe is, you know, where the handles, like, what are they, where they hide them, which aisle, you know?
And then just shoot and have you talk about it and do it for, you know, 5 minutes. Maybe someone would ask us what we're doing. And then you can either say, like, hey, we're just wrapping. We have a YouTube channel and we're just showing people how to find a good axe. And if they ask us to go, we'll go. Or we just ask, like, can we do it for, like, 2 more minutes, wrap this up, we'll get out of here.
Right, yeah. And, you know, like, we're not going to run into anyone who has the authority to turn us away at, like, a Lowe's or Home Depot.
Right? Well, because I mean, the managers, like, can tell us to leave.
Yeah, but there's not going to be enough exposure where we are for that to happen. You know what I mean? Like, like you said, it'd be different if we walked in and you're filming me the whole way and we go past the, like, customer service and we're talking, like, that might drum up some interest, you know, where someone, but, you know, if we're just walking down and shooting in an aisle, I mean, there's, like, so many people do so much stuff with their phones on, like, all the time, talking, like, you know, like, everyone, like, you know, just video chats all the time, and they just hold their phone in front of them and talk. Like, it's so annoying. Like, you're walking down the street and people are, like, talking. You hear their conversation. Like, put the phone against your fucking ear. Like, there's a reason why you have a phone. Like, you don't have to hold it in front of you at, like, a speaker and talk to it. Like, that pisses me off.
I don't know how people can even hear.
I know, right?
Half the time, they're just, like, talking all loud, and, like, can kind of hear the people in the speaker talking back. It's like, but...
like, it's a phone, right? You don't need to... No one else needs to hear the other side of the conversation.
Yeah, you don't even need to see them. You're just walking around.
Yeah, I don't even like other... I don't like people to hear my side of the conversation. You know, right. Like, I try to, like, talk as quiet as possible with the phone that's close to my mouth, you know, if I'm, like, out in public.
Yeah.
It's annoying. But, yeah, so I feel like, you know, there's so much of that, though, that happens. Like, I feel like people just don't even see it anymore. You know, it's just, like, part of the background.
Yeah.
But, yeah,
so I think fun. Yeah, we'll do that one day in the next week or two. And
yeah.
And then maybe you can take it home. We'll just do a time-lapse of you hanging it, and then we'll, like, wrap it up with a...
Yeah. Maybe show how it looks on the handle, you know, the axe or whatever.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah, maybe we'll do, like, a, you know, put a comment or whatever. We'll give it away or something, or do a raffle or something. And
sure.
Donate it back to Lowe's. No, yeah, that'd be kind of fun. You know, make it and give it away.
Yeah.
To, you know, somebody. We'll see. That'd be good. Cool. I like that. I like that idea. Yeah, I think that's cool. You know,
you have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
I think that's information that it's out there, but it's not like shown, right? Because it's not the flashy side of making axes, which there are a lot of people on the internet now, like, who are all about axes and about showing how beautiful they are, which is great. I love it. But, you know, but it's the very much the like flashy side, right? Yeah. And the majority of people who are out there don't care about what the handle looks like or feels like. They only care that it does what it needs to do, right? That it's like on their axe, it's not going to break, that, you know, and it's going to work, and they're going to chop wood, and they're going to lean it up against the wood pile and then walk inside, and it's going to sit out there in the snow, and it's going to keep on working, you know? So, right. So I think that's like, I don't know if that's the majority of the people on YouTube who are looking at our videos, but it is a, you know, there's a big, like when I started in my interest in axes, you know, I looked up lots of different stuff about how to get a good axe and like, what am I looking for and how do I find it and how do I hang an axe? Yeah. So the interest is there. People need to know the information is there. So,
and I like those videos. I mean, that's, I like those videos that will last. Because that information will go on that. Hopefully that video will be there after we're done making stuff. Like, it'll just be around.
Right, exactly. That information is not going to get old. As we know, since hanging a metal axe on a wooden handle is thousands of years old. So people still chop wood and still, like, make firewood. And
yeah, you know, and it, I, like, speaking of views, and it's... there's a funny thing when people get a lot of views on shorts and on Instagram things. It's great. And maybe I'd say different if we were making a bunch of money and getting millions of views off of like Art of Craftsmanship Instagram.
Right. Yeah.
It has no stay to it.
Right. Yeah.
It's like this randomized thing.
Yep.
That it's like, I don't know. It still feels good, obviously, when you get a hit with something or a short. But it's just like, it is nothing. It's
yeah, there's no substance.
It's a roller coaster.
Right.
Who was talking? Someone, I don't know where I heard this. It might have been from like Meat Eater. I think it was from Meat Eater podcast. They're talking about the adventures and stuff you have. But they were putting it in the way of, we have this like long week of not hitting, like hunting and not getting anything,
right?
And but we end up telling those crazy stories over and over. That's a type of fun. And then there's roller coaster fun. It's great,
yeah,
but it doesn't stay with you. You're never gonna tell a story about the wildcat at Hershey Park,
right? Exactly.
So I think a lot of these little shorts are like roller coasters. Like, it's great, like,
but adrenaline rush.
It doesn't, you know? It doesn't mean anything. But you know, I also don't want to hate on people who make those and start getting positive traction, and then they do get love through their Instagram, because all of a sudden they've got like 10,000 more people, and that's helpful for them.
Right, exactly. And I think, you know,
I think it's the opposite. It's not the opposite of what we try to do, but it's just in a different realm that we have to get used to and work on as well. Just like how the three shorts we did of the last video got more views by far than the actual video itself.
Right. Yeah. And I think the like shorts and reels and those, to me, they're all advertisement for the videos. Right. Mm. So when people make them, they're advertisement for, I mean, not an advertisement in the grand sense of like, this is the thing we're trying to send you from here to somewhere else. Right. So a lot of people use those as like, here's this thing. We're just trying to get your views to send you from here to then buy this thing. Right. So it's just, it's like a sign like, hey, we're over here.
Right. It's great. Great advertisement for a business. And that is very useful if you can get a hit, like someone like Brian House. If you can get one of those videos that all of a sudden have a million views. And so you're also selling something. It's not that you're just dancing or you're like, you poured an acrylic or you hung a handle. Like, for some reason it was kind of, it caught on. Right. But then you can bring that traction to your, it's just free advertisement. Those, it's definitely worth it. But on its own, it's not its own work of art.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. And there are a couple different content creators that are out there that don't that really are like that the end goal for them creating content is just Instagram or like just Reels or just you know, stories whatever, like, and that's fine, but I feel like I always want more, you know?
It's not substantive. It's not
right.
It's a nice thing, but it's fleeting. Yeah. It's just not the same thing as making full videos, because some people only do that, which is always weird to me. Yeah. It's easy to jump from like we always say, it's easy to jump from YouTube to Instagram or anywhere else, TikTok.
Right.
Because you all, but to jump the other way isn't.
Yeah.
But I think, no, you got your point.
I was going to say, I think there's, there are some creators out there and this annoys me is like, if I'm scrolling through something and it's like, you know, it starts off whatever, they're like, oh, check out this thing, I did this and this and this, and like they almost show you the ending, but they're like, check part two for the next part of it, you know, and I'm like,
right,
you know, especially if it's someone who I don't follow, right, because then I'm like, okay, well, do I really care? So like, all right, let me click on them and go into their reels and like, how fucking far back was this thing, is it like,
right,
is it the last reel I saw, or is it because I'm now on it, it's happened 3 months ago and they've put out 50,000 reels since then and I'm never gonna find it again, and then piss me off. Yeah, it's just, it's so like that. Yeah, that's even worse, and that's even worse than like part one, part two, part whatever of YouTube video, you know, at least I know I can go, you know, I can go to their channel and find it all there, and it, and like I can see how many parts it was, you know, and be like, okay, it's a 6-part series, do I really care, you know, like, yeah, right, maybe I do, like, but it's like when it's some random person who you don't care about.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you just, the only reason why you're seeing it is because the algorithm has picked it up and you maybe like something that's distantly remotely related to what it is about. And then all of a sudden it's on your feed. And like, I don't care about that, you know, but it is so addictive though. Just like scrolling through reels and stuff. It's like,
well, that's why I think it's not an advertisement for your other channel or your bigger videos. It is a good advertisement for your business. But like when I see something that I like, I rarely ever on a short or a thing go like hunt it down.
Right.
Yeah. Like, oh, I got to see what else that maker. No, I'm past it. Cause I only took it in for 20 seconds and I want to take on the next. It really is. I think it's ruining YouTube as far as, cause they're just pushing shorts and even I do it. Even someone who doesn't like it, I still spend a while on shorts before I start looking through just normal YouTubes to watch.
Right.
Yes. Like, it's so annoying. And I realized I wasted like 20 minutes watching nothing when I could have watched a real video of something.
Right. That exactly.
We waste so much time.
Yeah. And that's why, you know, I'm not adverse to like putting up a short or a reel that kind of shows the whole process right really quick. Right, because then it's still doing the same thing our videos are doing. It's giving some information. It's showing this. It's documenting this thing that I enjoy doing from start to finish. Right, so I give you everything in one. It's like, but it's a shorter version of it. You know, it's
But see, that's the thing. It forces people to do that. It really has, because if our videos got views, we probably wouldn't worry about it.
Right.
But since they get less views than they did, like we gotta scramble to keep up with whatever they're pushing.
Yeah, right.
You know, so you're like, well, shit, I guess. And it's happened to, like we talk about all the time, it's happened to a lot of big channels.
Right.
Where they'll have like 2 million subscribers and they put out a great video and it only gets like 60,000 views. Right. I mean, and by only, you know, we'd be happy with that nowadays. But in relation to all their videos, all of a sudden it's like, that's just not being pushed, or there's just so many channels. Yeah, 2 million
people who are subscribed to your channel, and only that, whatever that percentage is, like it's like a 1%, you know, like of people are actually watching it. Like, why? You know, why are you even subscribed to my channel if you're not going to watch? You know, it's like, if, of course, we can't watch everything we're subscribed to, but.
And they it's because they're not pushing it, and shorts are taking up time. Like,
right, exactly. Like, when I scroll through my subscriptions, it's like, short video. And it's like, I don't want to watch, you know, like I wish there was a, like, you know, when you go into subscription,
maybe you can do a filter,
either video or shorts.
And I see, I'm the opposite. I rarely do, which I've been doing more, cause they don't show me anything I want, but it's just like whatever's you've been watching lately.
Yeah.
So I watch two videos on this thing. Then all my other subscriptions are just, I can scroll and scroll and scroll. I won't see any of them. And every once in a while, you know, you'll go like, hey, whatever happened to this video? This guy.
Yeah.
And then you go back and you're like, oh shit, they've been making good stuff. And then you go back and watch them. But it just takes you going like, because for some reason, they just stop showing whoever.
Yeah, it's...
And you go back and you, like, rediscover them. Like, oh, man, they've been making stuff for 6 months. I haven't been showed, like, one of their video to watch.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. It's weird, right? And, yeah, obviously, each channel has the diehard fans, the ones who are going to watch everything you put out, you know. They'll search you out no matter what, you know. Yeah. But the diehards are so...
But that's just... You know, yeah, it's just hundreds or maybe thousands of people, and that's it. Yeah, even for the biggest channels.
Yeah.
You know, you'll have... You know, someone like Wrangler Star or Duresta, I'm sure he's got 20,000 people who watch every video. You have that guaranteed number, then you have everyone else who loves him but will not watch every, you know, or, you know.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So you really only have, or a smaller channel like us, we've got 1,000 people who will watch every video, but that's not going to do anything.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it's weird. It's a weird thing. It's a weird business we're in here. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Yeah, one of the other videos, another axe-related video we're thinking about doing is the Hatcheroon, which is the Shepherd's Axe Hatcheroon, which I think will be really fun. I really enjoy. I've been really enjoying, obviously, blacksmithing, and you know, and so when I combine those two things, the one thing that I have done very, very small amount of in all of my making years, especially with axes, is do anything with hardening axes, right? Because I'm always just modifying an axe, and I'm doing my best not to ruin the temper in the blade so it stays hard.
Right.
But with the Hatcheroon, the one that I made, I had to re-harden the blade because to be able to heat up the hammer end to draw out to the spike, I had like the whole head gets hot. Yeah. Right. And so that'd be kind of interesting. You know, I think that'll be cool kind of doing that, like working back through that process and showing it and then making the long walking stick handle, which is fun. But I like the idea of that, that video, right? Cause it kind of combines the multiple things that I like, which is the axe stuff and then also the blacksmithing stuff. And I don't think there are a couple of people who have done, you know, like walking axes or shepherd's axes, but that's not a very, like, I can't, it's really hard to find anything about them or people who make them online. So hopefully that'll mean that, you know, it'll be something interesting that people haven't seen a lot of.
Right. Then the Viking stuff come up. Are we allowed to talk about that?
Is that a secret? I think so. Yeah. I don't think it's a secret. I mean, because we talked, I think it's out there. So Devin's referencing the YouTube Knife Maker Challenge.
Is it out there?
I think it's, I think when we had the end of the last one, they talked about the next one is going to be the Viking challenge. Mm. And if it's not, it's fine. It's like people know they're expecting another maker, you know, YouTube Knife Maker Challenge. Right. But yeah, so it's the Viking challenge, which is opened up completely. And I kind of started thinking about what I want to do and something that you and I have suggested and talked about over the years is doing. An axe modification, you know, another axe mod. Mm. So I thought that would be a really fun way to make a Viking axe, was to do it in a way that, you know, normal people could do it. Like if you want something that looks like a Viking axe, you don't have to forge a Viking axe from scrap, you know, from scratch. Like you can actually take an axe and you can modify it and make it whatever you want, you know, and show the process of doing that and how to be really careful with, you know, keeping the blade cool and whatnot. So that way it stays, you know, and then, come up with a design. And then obviously we can use a laser to do some cool, like laser work with designs on the axe head would be fun. And then, you know, what do we do for the handle and how do we attach it and how do we make it look a little older, you know? So it's like really, really fits the purpose of the Viking axe without using it, losing its usability, which would be fun too.
Oh, baby. I'm going to have some fun with that thumbnail.
Yeah.
Maybe have like you upon a ship or something, you know, a longboat.
A Viking village in the background on fire or something, you know.
Now we're cooking.
And I was like, hey, there's we said this last week, but there's your like use of AI, right? Mm-hmm. Like make those cinematic like thumbnails, bring the people in.
Yeah, I'm excited now.
Yeah,
want to do the thumbnail.
It was Burke Makes Stuff, Andrew Burke. Do you follow him on Instagram?
He's met him at Maker Camp, right?
Yeah, yeah. He's got the he just recently put a picture of like himself, his face, AI'd on like three different bikes. He's like,
crazy.
Does he ever wonder what I would look like as a Viking? I was like, yeah, this is great.
It's amazing stuff.
Yeah. So I think that'll be fun. I really like the idea of like these like couple axe videos, and I think the market's out there.
Obviously, should we just back out now because we can't do it? we're not gonna make it, Dennis.
Just so
sorry,
you know,
brother. We just know.
We'll talk about. We'll be really excited, but
give the option to someone else.
I did tell him no flaking out this time.
All right.
Because unfortunately, we had we not had to, but we just.
Just run out.
Last time around, it was a lot of stuff going on, especially with you about to have the baby. So, just couldn't work out. But this one, I think this is like a video that I actually have been wanting to do for a while, and so I'll definitely get it. I think it's from March, April, or something. It's like mid to late April when the video has to be out. So we got plenty of time.
That's what we say every time.
Although, like again, I don't.
It's going to be March 22nd. We'll be like, all right, we got to get that thing started. What are we doing? It's coming down to it.
What do you got? You got to be here like tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And how, like, do we have time?
Can we push it back 2.5 days? Because I don't know if I can. I'm up all night editing this shit.
Deadlines, man. Shit. And we want to have a full time YouTube channel. It's ridiculous.
Nah.
Yeah, but those will be fun. And I was trying to think of like other, like I have some. Like a laminated handle, which I'm doing right now. I think that'd be fun video and stuff. There's some other, like, there's always fun. Like, I can always do something with axes, but, we try to mix it up. So we'll do the store-bought handle, and then we can do, like, another quick something else that's different, Or maybe it's the handle and then the hatcheroon and then something, or maybe, I don't know, we'll figure it out, but. Or we just put out 3X videos in a row. Who cares?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. Yeah, right. Nobody's going to watch them anyway. all right. Well, let's go over our picks from last week from the playoffs.
Yeah, playoffs.
See where we landed, and then we'll make our guesses. We'll make our what is it called? Our
picks.
Our choices for this week's game. Yeah. All right. So last week, number one, we had Browns versus Texans, which we both chose the Browns.
Yep.
And Browns lost, so we both got X's for that.
Joe Flacco couldn't do it. I saw I don't know the Instagram. People might know. It's this guy who does like where he's just different people in the same conversation,
Yeah.
Where he kind of makes fun, and it's like him doing football stuff. So he's like talking about he's just different quarterbacks who like got knocked out, and it's like Joe Flacco, and it's like Tua. I'm like, we tried, didn't we? And he's like, it's rough for us. Joe's like, you did not. He's like, at least I was slinging the ball, trying to get some yardage. He's like, you just kept checking down and throwing down like that.
Nice.
He's like, we are not in the same category.
You shut your mouth.
He's like, at least I was throwing downfield.
Yeah, right. I got picked, but
good old Flacco. Yeah, man. Bless his. He is the best quarterback the Ravens have ever had. Now, if Lamar wins a Super Bowl, I will change my stance on that.
Right. Yeah.
But exactly. Brought us a Super Bowl and kept. So many playoff wins.
Yep.
Always was in it. He's the man. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I've seen a couple. Instagram posts and stuff of like. Thanks, Joe. Like, thanks for, whatever. It's like you see him wearing the Browns uniform, and he's like taking it off underneath him. It's a Ravens uniform. It's like, once a Raven, always a Raven. Going and sabotaging the Browns.
I was relieved. I was rooting for him, but I did not want to face him.
No, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He might have whooped us, and Browns were good this year. They got us once. I mean, they could have come and beat us. Texans are tough, too, but I would rather play the Texans than the Browns right now.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to lose to Joe. I also don't want to beat the mess out of him. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right. So yeah, there's no win, you know. I'm happy to whoop up on the Texans if we can do that, but
right, exactly. And I'm happy for Joe that he's playing again for the Browns and he did pretty good with them. Like, that's great.
Right. He'll be back next year and he can maybe retire with a little bit more money in his pocket.
Yeah, right on.
And get a fan base that loves him.
Yeah. All right, so next game was Dolphins-Chiefs, and I chose the Dolphins, you chose the Chiefs, so you won that one.
Yeah.
So that's 1 point for you. Game after that was, I'm just going in the order that I wrote them down. I can't remember if this is the order that they played, but this is the first three games of AFC. So Steelers-Bills, and we watched the Bills beat the mess out of the Steelers, which was awesome.
That was fun.
So happy. Yeah, that was great. And we both chose the Bills, so we both got a point there. So you have two, I have one. And then Packers-Cowboys, that was an unfortunate game. The Cowboys got slaughtered at home, which was so funny to watch.
Yeah,
so you chose Packers, I chose the Cowboys. So that's another point for you. So right now you're up 3-1. We both chose the Lions to beat the Rams, which they did at home, which I was happy for them. Good job.
Yeah.
Eminem was there, happily chanting on his team. So funny. I kept showing him. And then it was like all the commercials had him in it. And I was like, oh, geez, come on. Whatever. So, yeah, we both got to point that. So you're up 4-2. And then the final game of last weekend was Eagles versus Bucks. And you chose the Eagles and I chose the Bucks. And the Bucks won. So that puts us at... You have 4 points from last weekend, and I have 3.
Is that right?
Shabby. Yeah. So you.
But I have three. I have three correct choices, and you have one correct choice.
You have four. No, you have four, and I have three. But we, you know, we both have.
Like, we both picked the same, but the ones that we differed. Didn't I win on two or three of them? I guess I won two of those that were where we differed, and you won one.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. So you guessed these are your winners: Chiefs, Bills, Packers, Lions.
Hmm.
We both chose the Browns, which we were wrong on, and you chose the Eagles, which you were wrong on.
Yeah.
I had Bills, Lions, and Bucks. Bucks is when I chose. You chose Eagles. I chose Bucks. So 4-3.
Okay. Next divisional.
All right. So divisional round. We have four games this weekend.
Let's just knock out Ravens.
Okay, Devin and Dustin, we're both obviously choosing the Ravens to win, Texas Ravens. So, Ravens.
Dude, Jimmy Eat World's going to play at halftime.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, man. Nice. We've been having, like, medium-ish acts, like, pretty much every game.
Mm-hmm.
But they're like, I'm not too interested. One was, there's a couple good ones, but this is, like, the biggest, like... rock band that's come through, so I'm excited about that.
Yeah, right on. That's cool. Jimmy, well, I mean, what is that like? Do they do? Is it like Super Bowl halftime where they kind of do like a medley, or do they just play? Like,
yeah,
a
you songs? Now you get like yeah, because the whole halftime is only what 15 to 20 minutes, so
right, yeah.
You have to get right into it. You got to be set up, and they play like how many songs you can fit in like 10 minutes.
Yeah, right.
It's great. It's fun. I might stay and watch that. Usually, it's funny, once halftime comes, there's a rush to the media food lounge.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right.
And ever, because there's like a line and there's like a way you can get through. Spoiler alert. Pro tip. You go to the end of the line first. Mm-hmm. At the end, you go, I guess it would be not to the back of the line, but to the finish, you know?
Right.
Because that's where they keep the desserts.
Oh.
And a lot of times they'll put out candy. So you can get yourself a Snickers bar or whatever you want first, because they will, they, you know, by the time you get there, they're gone. So you grab the snacks first.
To the end of the food
line. Yes. Grab yourself some peanut M&Ms, throw them in your pocket, then head to the back and they'll hook you up with some tenders or crab cakes or something.
Yeah. And right. They're not going to run out of that. You know,
nah, yeah, like they got all that food, stuff, right? But you got to get the good desserts first.
So you go to the end, and no one cares if you go to the end of the food line.
Right? Yeah. No one. I just walk right. Just walk. Up, take what I want.
Nice.
And hop in line.
Pro tip. All right. So that's the AFC. That's one of the AFC games. The second AFC game for the week end is Packers 49ers.
No, that's NFC.
Yeah, is it?
Yep.
Is it Lions, Bucks, Chiefs, Bills? Oh, Chiefs, Bills is AFC.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay. All right, so AFC, we have, yeah, these two. Okay, so our second AFC is Chiefs, Bills. What do you think? I think it's hard to root against, not root against, hard to pick against Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, well, I think
he hasn't showed me anything great this season, but
I think the Bills are hot. I don't mind rooting against. I like the Bills, but then we're going to have to play them. I'll take Bills, I guess. You can take Chiefs. Maybe we got to get one or two that are separate.
Sure. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I mean, like I said, I think my gut reaction is that it's going to be the Chiefs. Except for the fact that just have not been as hot as they have been in the last couple years, and their receivers just can't catch very well every time.
Like, I think I'd rather see the Chiefs.
Yeah,
than the Bills, I think so right too. Now. But right. I will say the Bills are going to win.
Yeah, I'll be much happier if we beat Patrick Mahomes than if, you know, like, if we win against, I'd rather win against the Chiefs than win against the Bills.
Well, I don't know the Bills. What's Josh Allen? He's the man.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah.
He's no joke. Yeah, I was just listening to him, watching him run all over the, whoever they played last week.
I'll say about that game, I watched that, and I was talking to my buddy Guy, and that one long run he had. For like whatever, 30, 40 yards.
Yeah, his longest like touchdown ever, whatever.
I will say that it is, and guy, I was like, that's a bullshit run though, because he did a little, because they do now, they've been doing these little fake, almost like they're going to slide.
Or whatever. Oh, that's a
bullshit. So you got, and the defense are so afraid, just like, what was the other game where he was already down and someone hit, like he was sliding, but they hit him and it was a huge.
Yeah,
I forget who it was. It might have been against the Steelers. It's like, but he wasn't down yet. Like, you can't just fake and then slide at the last minute and not expect anyone to hit you.
Yeah,
right. I do hate that. If you're going to run as a quarterback, you better be ready to get slammed.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And if you're going to slide before anyone is, like, going to hit you.
Right.
Right? Like, yeah, you see them coming, make it very obvious you're going to slide and then slide. Right. And then if someone hits you, then it's very obvious that they hit you and they should be penalized for it.
Yeah. You have to, Lamar does it. When he's done, he's done. He slides quick. He gets down. Yeah.
Right.
You shouldn't do a little move, like you're kind of going down and then people back off and then you embarrass them.
Right.
And then go by them just because they're forced to treat you with white gloves.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
Like, I can't
try to pick up like 3-4 yards on a slide. Right. It can't be like, oh, I'm going to try to get this last little bit and then slide. Like, you need to know you're getting the first down and you're sliding before anyone's within five yards of you. You know, you got to be sliding early. Yeah.
I think, if they slide and the tackle's already starting at the same time, you can't call that, which they've been calling, which is ridiculous. Yeah. Someone's already going down to tackle. You need to let them get ready for a tackle, which is the movement of going low, trying to get below their head and chest and make a tackle, but they just don't. But anyway, Bills, and you got Chiefs.
All right, so NFC side, we have Packers 49ers. Hmm. What do you think? I'm thinking...
I think 49ers.
I'm thinking 49ers too, but I might go with Packers just because of like how well they did against the Cowboys. I'd like to see them beat the 49ers only because... So that's the thing. It's like, who do I want to win and who do I think will win? Like, I think the 49ers will win, but I'd rather have the Packers win because I'd rather face them than the 49ers. And just out of
we slam the 49ers, so we kind of have their number, knock on wood.
Right. Yeah, but now they're like, maybe they want to get like a revenge, you know.
Yeah, but once you get your ass beat that bad, it's like, okay, you can try again, but we already, like, all our guys were beating all your guys constantly, so we're gonna if it's a close game and we beat them, then you're a little scared, like, oh shit, they're coming back. But if it's a blowout like it was, I mean, maybe they make adjustments, but once a blowout's that big, you're talking about one-on-one domination.
Right.
All our guys are beating all your guys. Yeah. So anyway, I'm just going to say, I mean, the easy pick, it's a 1-7 seed, so I'm going to say 49ers.
Okay. 49ers. I guess I'm going to go with the
Dogs. Go with who. All right. I'm going to say go with you. Who do you think's going to win?
Yeah.
If you think pack, you should brought to you by FanDuel, because it's a 1-7 seed, so you can make a little money if Packers win.
Yeah, right, there you go.
Put $20 in it, you probably make yourself $60 or something.
Yeah, that's not bad. Yeah, I was thinking also, like, with, you know, when you get beat that bad, like, if you come back and you're also you're getting beat again that bad, you're not, like, you're not driven to prove a point, right? The point's already been proven. This right. other team, is way better than your team.
Yeah, it's right? not like, shit, we got robbed, man. It was...
Yeah, right, you know, exactly.
It was one play, it was one this, it was a bad call.
Yeah,
no, right, it's, exactly. No, it's you got yeah. stomped.
And even, and, yeah, so that second game, if it's starting to go bad for you, like, you have the motivation. Like, come on, we can't let this happen again. Like, you know, last time was a fluke, let's not let this happen again. Like, but if you got beat the shit out of the first time, right. and it starts happening again, you're like, oh, here we go again, you know? Like,
right. I can't beat this guy, I can't cover this guy, or
right,
we can't yeah. get to the quarterback, whatever our schemes were aren't working, so... All right, well, and then for the last one, Lions-Bucks.
Lions-Bucks, I'm going to go with Lions. You know, I think they're having fun and doing good, and I think that's fun for the fans, and I think it's been fun for the team, and their coach seems like he's having fun. Like, I think they're kind of in, like, they seem like they're almost in the same boat as us, although the fact that we did beat the mess out of them, too. right. But, you know, I feel like they're having fun. Right, they have yeah. a good team. And yeah, they're
loose.
Fun.
They're loose and goose.
They're loose, right? Exactly.
And
I think that's hard to.
And Bucks have to go to, and you got another again a sunny team going to Detroit.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Soft boys down there, man.
Softies.
These southern teams are never. Well, I wouldn't say they're never very good. It's just I feel like you get soft.
Yeah.
You just no, I agree. Do. It's the beautiful weather constantly. And then you get up here, and Raven's been practicing. You know, you got to plow the field, and then you got to go out there surrounded by snow and run plays and practice and work. And,
yep.
and you're in it. You're used to it. It's like that first day of real cold winter when you're shocked. Yeah, and then 2 months later, you're just used to it, used to shoveling, used to getting, you got your jacket, you know, exactly. Yep. You know exactly what outfit you need to wear.
Yeah, you've honed your experience.
All these
yeah.
foot players know, all these football players who play in the cold, they know the gloves. They know the face mask yeah. that doesn't bother them. They know the layers they need to wear.
Yeah, right.
They're not bothered.
Yeah, it's true.
So there you go. I'm going to say all Lions.
Right. You're picking Lions as well. Okay, cool. All right, well, we have... We're matched on Ravens and Lions, and then we have opposite on 49ers and Packers, so it'll make this interesting. Mm-hmm. and get a little comeback win this weekend, and you're up by 1 point, but we'll see. All right, cool. So my recommendation this week is thinking about a multiple part series. Is a video series from Neil Kamimura, knife maker in Hawaii. And he's been doing this knife build. He's building a kukri, which is like the style he's doing is in the Jason Knight style, which is what he learned from Jason. Like, you know, he's making it, and he's really interesting to listen to when he's like in his own element in his shop around people that he's comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've heard him on a few different things, and comes off a little bit like conceited sometimes, or a little bit not conceited, but a little bit like I'm the greatest thing that's happened in knife making.
I think, yeah, I mentioned this before.
Okay.
I think, yeah, and I think that can happen. Just like if someone hears our conversation about bitching about shorts and how we think our videos exactly. will last, and our videos right. are like this piece of art, and people are like, ah, like shut up, like it's not that serious, it's just a YouTube video. So
yeah, exactly.
I feel like in the right angle, anyone who's proud of their work can sound like that,
right? And that's the thing, like I definitely don't hold it against him. Like I've seen him, like I've seen him enough times, like shout out the people he learned from, that I know he's like, has a humbleness to him mm-hmm. that's like, this is what I'm doing, this is why I love it, these are all the people that have helped me, I've learned this technique from this person, this technique from this person. And seeing him in a shop and just like working and talking to people and laughing and like having a good time, and he's like really down to earth in the way he thinks about knife making, which I really like. He'll often like talk about something that you know, most of the big knife makers will tell you is wrong. But he's like, it's worked for me, fine. You know, like, yeah, I do it this way, and it works fine. So you can do it that way. Like, it's not wrong. It's just a different way to do it. And maybe it's not as consistent as like someone else's way. But so it's like, it's kind of fun hearing him and watching him go through. So I've really enjoyed the videos, and they're all really long because it's very much like a, you're just hanging out in the shop with him, and they're capturing all of it, like his conversations and whatever he's doing. And he's telling you about the knife work, but he's also goes off into these like side things. And it's, he just put out part 4. I think part 5 is coming out soon, but each one is like over an hour long. It's just like going through the process. Like, but you know, if you think about the process of making a knife, it takes multiple hours. So he kind of joked about it. He's like, yeah, if you come to my shop and you try to learn from me, he's like, you won't get any of this information. He's like, cause he like, I might get you started, but then I want to work on my own thing. So you're not going to really learn. He's like, this video is really what you're learning, cause you're actually with me the whole time and we're talking about stuff and I'm telling you stories. And so it's been fun to watch, fun to listen to.
Nice.
So yeah, check it out. That's I think it's just his name, Neil Kamimura, on YouTube, but his Kukri build part 1 through 5. Well, it seems like it's going to end at 5 because he just did his like handle glue up on part 4. So I think it's just like handle shaping now, but maybe there's more. Who knows? I wouldn't mind more. It's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I love those. Like I said, we talk about those, that type of thing all the time. If we could... Also, we could go places and be with people like that and spend a day. I would love to do that. Mine's a little different. It's called, well, the video's got a long name. It's from Bird Dog, Austria. Bird Dog Legends Over Vietnam, Shotgun 33, Dave McGowan. It's the old Orioles PA announcer's name is Dave McGowan, and he's a Vietnam vet. So he'd tell us stories because he flew a little plane. I forget what bird dog plane or a little one engine, tiny little, you know, it's like a Cessna old school, you know, kind of that thing. And they would do recon and he'd have all these crazy stories, but he goes in through the stories. It's like an hour long. He's just talking to another pilot about it.
That's cool.
He's great. He was always,
what's his name again?
Dave McGowan.
That's right, yeah.
Nice. So just look up Bird Dog Austria, or we'll put that in the whatever. But yeah, he's the great.
Show notes.
He's you know, no bullshit. He kind of tells what he did, and he has this thing where he would they put rockets on those planes, and you would kind of, and he talks about how he would find enemies and do recon, but also people shooting at him. And he brings up this point where he's never looking forward. He's looking at the side and back of his plane, because when people see a plane come, they don't shoot at you. They shoot at you when you pass. So he's always looking back, and people come out of their hiding and they take pop shots at him. And then he'd circle around. He's got this story of, he would always have juice glasses and grenades, because what he would do is he'd pull the pin and the clip, you know, the clip has to stay closed.
Yep.
Stick the grenade in the juice glass and drop it out his window. So when the glass breaks, the grenade opens up.
Yep.
And then it's just a mini bomb. You would just stick a grenade in the juice glass.
That's crazy.
That's how he would bomb people.
Jeez. And, you know, like, how many of those can you have in there? You know, okay.
Right. I'm thinking, we're at work talking and making jokes. Like, who keeps stealing all the orange juice glasses?
Yeah, right.
It's Dave. There he goes. He's flying up. He's going to go drop something and try to drop something on someone's house. I don't know. But he's like honest about it. You know, it's like he would go and do recon. People that shot at him, he would try to, you know, try to get back at him and circle around and find him and try to be as accurate as he could. But Vietnam, what's the great quote from Big Lebowski? What's his name? Rusty? Dirty? Dusty?
The Dan, whatever. What's his name? The main character, the other character.
Yeah. Where he's like, this is, this isn't Nam. Is John there's, Dan. Yeah, this isn't Nam. There's rules. Like in bowling.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. This isn't Nam, man. There's rules.
No rules in Nam.
No rules in Nam. You just shoot at what you can.
That's crazy stuff. All right. Cool. All right, everybody. Well, thank you so much for listening. Make sure you don't forget to head over to YouTube. It's funny. I had one of my students today. It was like, Mr. Harrow, when are you going to put out another video? He's like, I'm dying here. I want more videos. I'm like, hey, man, we're working on it.
I know. It's we've been, I mean, with the new kid and the schedule and stuff, but.
Yeah, but we're working on it.
We'll get there. We'll get back on it.
Yep. Yeah, so head over to YouTube, check out what we got there, leave a comment, let us know what you think, share it with your friends, tell those 1,000 fans that are watching all of them that, it's good to be there. Hear us over here. You can also follow along on Instagram at The Art of Craftsmanship for, seeing what I'm doing, and then you can also follow along with Devin at The Art of Camera Guy. And then if you want to support us a little further, you can head over to patreon.com/The Art of Craftsmanship, and you can support us there. I think we've got like a $1 tier, so pretty easy, like $1 a month. It's not much, but it all helps on our end. We really appreciate it. So whatever you can do, support us however you can. We appreciate it, and then just by listening, it helps. And just send the flock back to the videos and back to the content, and see what it does. Keep us alive. Yeah. Cool. All right, Dev.
Hi, brother.
Pleasure, man. Everybody else, thank you guys so much for listening, and we will talk to you next time.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals. Save big money.